Hi, I'm your host, Nikki, and you're listening to the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange Resource Hub podcast, or what we like to call the JJIE Hubcast. Our aim is to bring often underrepresented issues in the juvenile justice system to light. This season is going to be dedicated to sharing information about immigrant youth in the juvenile justice system. We will talk about who are immigrant youth in America, how are they involved in the juvenile justice system, and what policies are working or recommended by experts in the justice field. For each episode, we will post a transcript with references to related resources for anyone who wants to follow up on any information that we discuss. This episode will cover some basic information about immigrant youth in the U.S., including demographics, jurisdiction questions, and some forms of relief undocumented immigrant youth may seek. First, let's talk about who are immigrant youth. According to the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, immigrant youth are, quote, defined as those under the age of 18 who are either foreign-born or U.S.-born to immigrant parents, end quote. Between 1994 and 2017, the immigrant youth population increased by 51%, accounting for one quarter of the total 75 million U.S. children. That is 19.6 million immigrant youth in America as of 2017. Of the nearly 20 million youth, most immigrant children are second generation, meaning one or both of their parents immigrated from another country and the youth was born here on American soil. Only about 2.9 million immigrant youth are first generation. According to the National Juvenile Justice Network, or NJJN, there are approximately 1 million children under the age of 18. There are some challenges to estimating how many immigrant youth, both citizen and non-citizen, are involved in the juvenile justice system. State and local governments do not collect reliable data on how many immigrant youth are taken into custody and involved in the justice system. Budget constraints, lack of reliable measures, and possible public scrutiny are often cited as reasons to why jurisdictions cannot accurately measure the number of children involved. So to recap, there are nearly 20 million immigrant youth in the U.S. Most immigrant youth are second generation. In estimating the number of youth involved in the juvenile justice system can be challenging due to intake systems. Now, let's talk about a major issue at the intersection of the juvenile justice system and immigrant youth. Jurisdiction. So whose responsibility are immigrant youth in the juvenile justice system? State and local governments control most juvenile justice issues, whereas the federal government, specifically Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or better known as ICE, holds jurisdiction over immigration concerns. Experts propose that ICE stay out of youth justice proceedings and leave immigrant youth in the system to localities. In the 2018 update of the Annie E. Casey Foundation's Non-Citizen Youth in the Juvenile Justice System, we learned what consequences immigrant youth might face since 2017 when President Trump signed an executive order and the Department of Homeland Security released a memorandum that impacted immigrant youth in more ways than one. All undocumented immigrants became targets for possible deportation, funding of sanctuary jurisdictions was in jeopardy, and local law enforcement became more empowered to take action against immigrants. Two programs that are potential dangers to immigrant youth are 287G programs and Secure Communities programs, or SCOMs. Under the executive order and Department of Homeland Security policy, local governments have more power to enact immigration proceedings. 287G agreements allow state and local law enforcement officials to act as immigration officers. Using the 287G program allows officers to investigate the immigration status of people and lets them have access to ICE databases or issue immigration holds. According to the 2018 updated Non-Citizen Youth Report, studies have shown that the 287G agreements, quote, lead to racial profiling and constitutional violations, end quote. The SCOM programs were created under President George W. Bush, but later disbanded by President Obama in 2015. The executive order reinstated SCOM procedures, meaning the information sharing between local law enforcement and the Department of Homeland Security is now operational again. Every fingerprint taken can be sent to the Department of Homeland Security to be run against civil immigration databases. This can increase the amount of ICE holds there are in detention facilities, and there is no rule outlawing this for immigrant youth proceedings. Okay, let's recap. State and local governments have jurisdiction over juvenile justice issues, while the federal government holds control of immigration issues. Since 2017, immigrant youth have faced higher chances of deportation, and the use of 287G agreements and SCOMs has increased. Now, finally for today's episode, let's talk about some options for undocumented immigrant youth who are seeking pathways to become documented. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center published a, quote, collection of one-page fact sheets, end quote, on different options for undocumented immigrant children. We will discuss, according to the Immigrant Legal Resource Center, the most common forms of relief for immigrant youth and give an overview of what the benefits are, who is eligible, and what are the requirements for the different pathways. Let's start with special immigrant juvenile status, which provides a path to lawful permanent residency for children who are under the jurisdiction of a juvenile court and cannot be reunified with one or both parents due to abuse, neglect, abandonment, or a similar basis in state law. Some of the benefits of the special immigrant juvenile status are children are allowed to stay in the U.S. and can obtain permanent residency, or better known as a green card, which also comes with eligibility for employment. For youth to receive special immigrant juvenile status, a juvenile court must declare a child as a court dependent, legally appoint the youth to a state agency, or legally place the child into the care of a court-appointed individual or entity. Quoted from the ILRC publication, the juvenile court must find that it is not in the child's best interest to return to their country of origin. The youth must also be under 21 and not married to receive special immigrant juvenile status. Next, the Violence Against Women Act protects non-citizen youth who have been abused by a U.S. citizen or permanent resident, and also protects those with a parent who is abused by a U.S. citizen or permanent resident spouse. Some requirements for the Violence Against Women Act are children's spouses must qualify as so under immigration law, the abused must be of, quote, good moral character, end quote, and the abuse must qualify as battery or extreme cruelty, mentally or physically. Good moral character is a legally defined term, but the status of good moral character is ultimately granted by the immigration officer. So there are two ways that immigrant youth experiencing abuse can become documented in the U.S. Another pathway, which can be related, is the U non-immigrant status visa, or better known as the U visa, which may be issued to non-citizens who have been the victim of a qualifying crime in the United States and have indicated their willingness to be helpful in the investigation or prosecution of a crime. Some of the qualifying crimes are domestic violence, sexual assault, kidnapping, blacktail, and more. U visas allow non-citizens to remain in the U.S. for 4 years with temporary status, provides employment eligibility, and after 3 years, the non-citizen may apply for lawful permanent residency. U visas can also come with benefits for family members and allow access to public benefits. There is a 10,000 limit to how many U visas may be issued each year. However, the number of petitions has exceeded this limit for the past several years, so this status can be hard to attain. Lastly, the ILRC also notes asylum as a common form of visa for non-citizen youth. In the words of the ILRC, asylum is for non-citizens who fear persecution in their home country because of their race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. Some benefits of asylum status are non-citizens may remain in the U.S. and obtain a green card, employment authorization, and permission to travel to other countries, usually not their home country, though. To receive asylum status, some requirements are an application for asylum must be done within 1 year of arriving into the U.S., with some exceptions. The non-citizen must have faced persecution or fear of persecution by their country's government, and the non-citizen must not be facing conviction of a serious crime. Keep in mind that asylum relief is complicated, and a consultation with an immigration expert is required before applying. We should also note that while asylum was highlighted as one of the most common forms of relief by the ILRC, asylum status has been under scrutiny recently by the current administration. Okay, let's recap one last time. Special immigrant juvenile status, the Violence Against Women Act, and U visas are some of the most common forms of relief for immigrant youth to seek. Asylum status was identified as another common form. However, under the Trump administration, asylum status is under question. Okay, we've discussed the demographics of the immigrant youth population in America, jurisdiction issues faced within the immigration and juvenile justice system, and some forms of relief immigrant youth may seek. Our next episode will dive into how immigrant youth are involved in the juvenile justice system and what consequences they might face due to involvement in both the immigration and juvenile justice systems. Remember, you can find the transcript of this episode and review related resources at jjie.org/hub. I'm your host, Nikki, and you've been listening to the JJIE Hubcast. Thank you for listening.